is on. It's all on a righteousness. Oh, nothing but the blood sing it to of him. Jesus.
Yes, oh, precious. It's the blood.
You know that's the truth tonight. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Been a rainy, dreary, cold kind of a day outside, but I believe the fires are going to be burning in here tonight, don't you? Are you glad to be a Christian tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you glad He loves you more? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Well, it's just so good to see you. Good to be in the house of God. We're just so grateful for what God has done for us. Amen. So grateful for this glorious message. Amen. Glad for Elijah. Amen. Glad for what He's done for us in this hour. The Lord Jesus has provided everything that you need for your journey. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Are you committed to that tonight? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Yes, oh, precious is the blood that makes me. Oh, no other
found I know, nothing but the blood.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Before you sit down tonight, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen. Play a little bit more with it, if you will, guys. Play it. Sounds good. Hallelujah. Because it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, yes, it flows to the lowest valley.
Never lose its power.
About it. How about you? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. I want to give you this testimony first. Brother Johnny Little was over in the library and he would turn this testimony in and he was just sharing a little bit of it with me. And well, I didn't know if he was going to be able to stay in the building or not. The Lord is just so mindful and so good. And I want to read you this testimony tonight. He says, I had a treadmill test showing a heart blockage on August the 5th of this year. I was prayed for by Brother Donnie and the church. The doctor said I needed a stent and most likely open heart surgery. I prayed with the doctors and the nurses and praise God, no blockage whatsoever. And he wants to praise the Lord and thank you people for praying for him. Brother Johnny, where are you at tonight? Where are you at? Where's he? Right back here? Right here he stands. Give the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight for that testimony. Amen. The same doctor that told him he had to have stents and probably open heart surgery is the same doctor that come back and said, we can't find nothing. Everything's all right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Somebody say it. God is good. And all the time, one more time, God is good. And all the time, give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Glory. Well, we just praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy says, please remember my father-in-law, Bill Kennedy, in prayer. Doctors have found cancer in his body. He will be having more tests this coming Monday, so we certainly will remember that request tonight as we pray. Sister Jennifer Phillips says to please pray for Sister Clara Davis. She has an infection, has been taking a strong antibiotic that has made her very nauseous in the past. Pray for a quick recovery. So let's just commit that need unto the Lord. Sister Ruth Louise Belash says a special unspoken prayer request for her and her family. The Lord knows all about those needs. Whatever they are, we just commit them to the Lord. This is was sent over to the a person by the name of Dalvi. I hope I got that name. That's the last name. I hope I got it close to right. Says, sir, I would like to request your church to pray for my mother, Ruth Dalvi, from India. She has been getting chest pains for about 2 months now. Please pray that God will have mercy on us, that she may be delivered from the chest pains and live a longer life. So they're seeking your prayers tonight on this behalf. So we just commit those things unto the Lord. Please have the church pray for a delicate situation in a family member's life, for God to have mercy in this situation and to bring my brother out safe and sound. Thank you so much for praying. God bless you all. This is Sister Tanya sends this in to the library. So we just commit that prayer request unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Jane Terrell. Has a bad cough and cold, homesick tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Cutts wants us to remember a young man by the name of Abe. I won't even attempt to say that last name. He's 15 years old in Alberta, Canada, who was burned over 90% of his body with third-degree burns. He is the youngest in his family of six, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Deanna Dixon says to Sister John Dixon would like for the church to pray for the family of Larry Murphy. He lost his wife, Brenda Murphy, last night due to a heart attack. They have two sons. She was a very close and dear friend of mine. So they're asking that we would remember that family as we pray tonight. I want to pray for Carl Lyons, who just had surgery and they can't get the bleeding to stop. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Please pray for Sarah Townsend's nephew, who had a motorcycle accident. He has a fractured skull and bleeding on the brain. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need. How many of you know that God's able to meet your need tonight? We believe that with all of our heart, don't we? Could we stand? Let's sing just before we pray tonight. Let's sing that little chorus. Let's thank Him for what He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do in ways that we don't even know. He's our God. He takes care of His people. He takes care of His people. Do you believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. We want to say thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Say praise the Lord. Brother Bert, come tonight if you would. Lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask Him to have His divine will. Invite Him into this service. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Love you, Brother Bert.
Let's pray. Father, we're just overwhelmed, Lord, at this time of our journey, Father, to be able to hear the things that we're hearing and being a part of it, Lord. Just I know it, all of us, Lord, I just believe it overwhelms our human thinking. But I'm so grateful, Lord, we can come in here, Lord, and several times a week have our human thinking just washed free of every hindrance, Lord, and have our spirit just washed, Lord, and cleansed and regenerated, Lord, and surrendered for the seed of God within, Lord, to express. And part of it being right now, Lord, that these bodies that we travel in, Lord, they're weary and they become afflicted. But I'm so grateful, Lord, as the word many afflictions are the righteous, but You use the word delivered from all, Lord. And I thank You. And once more, we just want to acknowledge that You're our healer, deliverer, provider. Lord, You're our peace. You're our everything. And we just receive You right now for healing and provision and peace and deliverance, salvation, everything that's in these requests tonight. Lord, we submit to You and believe You, Father, and receive You and thank You for it. Now, we pray You'd have Your way, Lord, in the remainder of the service. And just, Lord, open every heart, I pray, Father. Wherever we're at, Lord, we just want to step up higher into this rapture. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bert. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Nan Cromer, that the Lord would just let His divine will be done in her life. I know that family, they're going through some times right now, but God's able to keep them during this time. And we just want to be there for them when they need us, right? Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here in this service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Bert mentioned in his prayer, in this journey of our life, which brought my mind to an old song that we used to sing years and years and years ago, and it's still a good song. It simply says, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. This journey now means more than it did yesterday, because I've been kept by His grace another day. Are you glad He keeps you? Are you glad He watches over you? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, Christ has turned me around. He's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. No, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything. It's got a name, wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't. Ain't nothing for my journey now.
I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I've had a lot of heartaches,
had a lot of grief and woe.
Oh, but when I would stumble, then I would humble down.
Hallelujah.
And say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, there's nothing in the world that ever takes the place of God's love. All the silver and gold can never buy His touch from above.
When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His
power. Oh, that's right.
I can say, thank the Lord, I
wouldn't take
nothing for my journey now.
I won't just sing it. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. The devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, the wealth I've wanted, and worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take me nothing for my journey now.
I started out traveling, Lord, many years ago. I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief, whoa.
But when I would stumble, then I would humble down.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I'd say, thank the Lord,
yes,
I wouldn't
Lord.
Take nothing for my
no,
journey
nothing.
Now.
I wouldn't take nothing for my journey, now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. Everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Glory! Hallelujah! Amen! Praise the Lord. I look at Brother Charlie here, going on 92 years old. 93 years old. I beg your pardon. Would you take anything for your journey? No, sir. It gets sweeter every day, don't it, Brother Charlie? Every day. Tell somebody it gets sweeter every day.
It gets sweeter every day.
And he means that too. 93. It gets sweeter every day. Let me tell you something. You may be a young convert. You may just have given your life to the Lord. Don't mean you're not going to have all kinds of troubles, as the song says. All kinds of problems. But if you'll live for Jesus, it'll get sweeter every day you live. He'll mean more to you every day of your life. He's the greatest friend we've ever had. He's closer than a brother. Closer than a mother. Closer than brother or sister. He is your heavenly Father. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Sing that verse for me again, buddy. Second one.
There's nothing in the world that could ever take
away. Oh, let's sing it a little bit tonight.
All the silver and gold can never buy a mighty touch from above.
Oh, Lord.
Now my soul needs healing, and I begin to feel His power.
Hallelujah.
I can say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. But if I want and worldly fame, if I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Joel Brown, is he here tonight? I'm not going to make the same mistake I made here Wednesday night. Brother Joel, would you come up here real quickly? We tried to sing this song Wednesday night, and we can't sing it like you. And if I told you who I thought you was, you'd get mad. And if I told him who I thought you was, he'd get mad. So let's just leave it at that. Brother, this is Brother Joel Brown. Ain't nobody like him in the world. Do you love him tonight? Going over yonder, buddy. We're going over yonder. Let's sing about it, if you will.
Amen. I was streaming, and I thought I was the only best-looking half, light-skinned black brother in the church. I was like, brother, what's going on here? Amen. Y'all pray for me. I've had that old croup mess, and I don't know how my voice will do, but I don't care anyhow. We'll do it for him, and we'll croak along. If you want to know where I'm going, if you want to know where I'm going one day soon, if anybody asks you where I'm going one day soon, tell them for me, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to live my Lord. Now I can take the pain, the heartache that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'm gonna soon fly away. You believe that? As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture. Are you going? I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to see my Lord. Listen. Now I can take the pain, the heartaches of life, the heartache that it brings. there's comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. It won't be long as God gives me grace. I'm gonna run this Christian race till I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Whoa, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just wish somehow we could convince our families, our friends, people who know this truth, that it's that close. Because I'm convinced lots and lots of people do not believe the rapture is that close at hand. They'd be going to church. They'd be praying. They'd be reading their Bibles. There's no way people believe it's that close. No way. You'd miss going to Walmart. You'd miss going to the grocery store. You'd miss everything in the world before you'd miss the seriousness of being in the house of God. If you're here tonight and don't have the Holy Ghost, how can you really believe the rapture is that close at hand and walk out that door and be contented to go home service after service after service as if though it doesn't even matter? My. We need to pray, children. We do. Well, how'd I get off on that? It just troubles me. It does. It troubles me when you see people and, you know, their lives is not ready. They got things in their lives and they got attitudes and they got sin and they got things that's there. And they think, how can they say that they believe the coming of the Lord could happen just like that? I believe it can, don't you? Amen. Let's turn tonight to 2 Kings, if you would, chapter 17, verse 36. 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 36. I want to speak to you again tonight on the gallery of worship. I've been enjoying this. I trust you have. 2 Kings. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall you fear, and Him shall you worship, and to Him shall you do sacrifice. Now there is a worship without fear. That's the way a lot of folks are worshiping God in the day we're living. And there is a worship with the wrong kind of fear. But we want worship with the right kind of fear. Now there's a difference in having the fear of the Lord and being afraid of God. A lot of folks are afraid of God, but they don't have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But to be afraid of God, you could be afraid of God and be spiritually dumb. You could be afraid of God and still doing your sins. But if you have the fear of the Lord, then it puts something in you to help you obey that word. Notice in Psalms chapter 5, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. In thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Psalms 96, 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. fear before him all the earth. Now remember, this is not being afraid of God. This is the holy awe that a soul has when it recognizes it's in the presence of God. Two words that are used for fear in the New Testament. One of them is when you are going into a strange place, a wilderness, a forest, whatever it is. And you know there's a possibility there could be bears, bobcats, wildcats, whatever, in there. Every little break of a branch or a leaf falling, and it can arouse you. That's one type of fear. The other type of fear is whenever you actually see a bear or a bobcat or a mountain lion or whatever it is, and then this fear actually magnifies and multiplies, and that's what causes your hair to stand up on the back of your neck, causes chills to go all over you. Now, that's the way many people serve God, and that element of fear. That's not the way God wants us to serve Him. He wants us to serve Him with that awe, knowing a great, mighty God is among us. But we're not afraid of Him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would teach us tonight. Speak to us from Your Word. Help us, Father, that we can know how to come into Your courts. How to enter into Your great presence with holy reverential fear. But not that type of fear which has a slavish bondage. But Lord, we desire to worship You in fear and in the beauty of holiness, knowing that we have entered into the great august courts of the omnipotent God, and that we are surrounded with holy angels and the Holy Spirit Himself. But at the same time, it does not make us afraid as if a wild animal would come and approach us. It leaves us in a holy awe that we are so mesmerized by Your being. Speak to us tonight, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, when it comes to worshiping the Lord, does God actually want people to worship Him in separation, in holiness or set apartness? Or is it actually man that devises holiness or being separated from the things of the world? Is it man in different moves down through the ages that has actually concocted this in his mind that he felt like that God wanted him to separate himself from other people and make himself different, act different, talk different, dress different, behave different? Or does God himself actually say something about that in his word? Now, is it God that demands a separation in the lives of his people? Well, if it is, then we truly ought to do that. If it's man, then really, I don't think we have to pay any attention to it because it's just a whim or an idea or something that somebody come up with in their mind. But if it is God himself who is the one who's designated this, that his people must be set apart, or his people must be holy. They must be a different category of people. They got to dress different, act different, talk different. They'll even worship different than other type of people. And they will be able to approach him with a total different mindset than all the other people will, because they will approach him in the fear of God. Now, let's look at this a little bit, if you would, before we go into this about worship. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, whenever God goes to dealing with the life of Abram. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, what a peculiar thing that God, And the first thing that he does in dealing with Abram, that God demands that this man separate from his father's house. Now, this is a peculiar thing, especially in this mindset of these people of that day, because as long as your father was alive, it was by custom and by tradition that this man, Abraham, 75 years old, so his father would have to have been probably at least 90, 95, something like that. But they lived somewhat longer, of course, than what we do. But yet, as long as your father and mother were alive, it was demanded that you give them respect. So you couldn't just pick up and move over here and just move away from daddy. It was totally disrespectful for you to do such a thing. So God is speaking something to this man that is absolutely contrary to their tradition. And then you and I think, well, I'm going to go down to Nashville and get a job. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over there. The mindset today is totally different. For them, it would have been absolutely something they could not even comprehend. What kind of a God? Now, Abraham had just met this God. So he didn't really know him. And he didn't really know that much about him. And yet, whenever he meets this God immediately demands that he begins to separate. And he doesn't separate. Now, separate from the Chaldeans out there, separate from the Babylonians, but he starts where it really hurts, and he says, separate from your father's house. Now, this was a very painful move. And we know that Abraham followed it to a degree, but he never fully obeyed this word for several years on down the road. Now, notice in chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated unto him. Now, notice, we remember that the herdsmen got into a big argument. God had already told Abram, separate from all your kindred, which was all inclusive for Lot as well. But Abraham allowed Lot to go on and with him, and it caused nothing but problem. But eventually, God allowed a situation to rise up from among them and an argument come among them. And when it did, it actually helped usher in the will of God for Abraham's life, that he had not done it on his own. And we know that God will allow that even in our own lives, even in our own church, that God will separate. Now, whenever God begins to move with an individual's life, he will deal with that individual in stages and in progressions as long as that individual will come into obedience. Now, God knows that most of us as humans, and he might give us a large scope of what he demands in our life. I want you to fully obey me. I want you to do this and this and this. But he knows, for the most part, most of us will never do that initially. It's just not in us. We will never do it initially. He knows, looking at us, that for a lot of us, it will take years on end for the full scope of that manifestation of accepting obedience to God's word to ever take place in our life. And he knows that it will come by stages. So we'll move up so far, and then we'll obey him. And when we obey him that far, then he'll give us a little bit more. And then he'll bless us, and then we'll obey him that far, and we'll give a little more. Now, at any time in those stages, we can regress from those stages of obedience. And many of us have done it in our walk with God. And we will come up and we'll obey the Lord, and the Lord will bless us, and oh my, we're so happy. And then instead of going on to the next stage, we find ourselves regressing from that spot and we lose ground. Now, it doesn't mean now that your name goes off the book. It doesn't mean God will quit fooling with you, but it simply means you have not grown to the next step, and God is waiting on you to put forth the next effort in order that you can be able to grab a hold of what he wants you to have. It's the same way in the life of Abram. Now, God would have already, no doubt, manifested a fullness into Abraham's life that it went further on down the road. But because Abraham did not separate from Lot, God allowed a dissension to come among the herdsmen. They begin to argue and fuss and fight. Now, ultimately, it's going to lead to a separation. So instead of trying to look at it, Abraham look at, well, maybe this is what needs to happen. Maybe they need to go their way. We need to go our way. Maybe that's exactly what God wants. And it was. So as he begin to separate, you find immediately the very next verse after Lot goes away from Abram, look what God does. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Now this promise had already been waiting in the allocation of God for Abram's life, but it was put on delay for years because of his disobedience to walk fully in
to the Word of God. Now, friends, let's just be honest. No doubt every one of us, and look at situations in our life, whether it's jobs, whether it's giving this up or that up in our life, and we let the devil talk us out of the will of God, and we regress with God. You don't just regress on your walk with God, but you'll regress naturally. Your children can regress. Your relationship with your wife and with your friends will regress, because the life of a child of God is all focused around their soul walk with God. And when that's not in harmony with God, don't expect your home to be in perfect peace and harmony. Don't expect your job to be going good. Don't expect God to just bless you over the top of it if you're elect. Now, if you're serpent seed, you can look for the best of everything, because God ain't worried about whooping the devil's kids. But He is worried about whooping up on His own. And He will do it. He don't like to do it, but He will do it if need be. And He will force the issue, which He had to do in Abram, in order to get him away. Now, we know Josephus tells us that actually Abram had adopted Lot, and he had become his full son by adoption. So naturally, he didn't want to let him go. He tried his very best to hold on to Lot, but he never could really make Lot be able to move on in. And what it done was, it held Abram back from going almost what God wanted him to be. And the church said, but immediately whenever he begins to pull away, now Lot actually pulls away, then whenever he does, listen what God says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. Now how come God didn't say this before Lot left? God could not bless Abram until he walked further into the next stage of the progression. This was the next stage of the progression of God's word for Abram's life. Now remember, his name is not even changed yet. Sarah's name is not changed. But this was what God had allocated. God's not going to jump over to chapter 15. He's not going to jump over to chapter 17. I'm El Shaddai. He's not going to jump to chapter 18. I'm the Almighty God. But next in line is this. This is the next step in the progression of the revelation of God. But he's not going to go there until Abraham separates himself from the unbelief that's in him. And the church said, now, it's the same way with you and I. The reason today, friends, that many of us are not any closer to God, and our walk with God is not any farther, is because we're skipping over chapter 13s in our lives, and we're wanting chapter 15s, and we're wanting chapter 19, and we're wanting the body change when we're not in yet the total separation of unbelief. We've got to have this in the progression by which God reveals. You understand? And your God now wants to make this known to him. I wonder how long God in his own being longed and held this mystery of his secret in his own heart, desiring to make it known to Abram. But because of his refusal to go on with God, he simply couldn't do it. He simply could not do it. Now notice in verse 15, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now this was held back because he not obeyed God. And there's more laying before him that God will not reveal to him until he fully obeys him. Now watch this. Brother Ram says it this way. Abraham believes that. He believed God. He took God at his word under expectation. He waited 25 years with the expectation getting greater and greater. And finally the baby was born because he was expecting it. He separated himself. If you'll notice what it waited for. Notice what it waited for. God told him to separate himself from all of his kindred, and God never did bless him anymore till he obeyed him fully. Now, if we want more of God, you brothers that are ministers, you want more flow of the Holy Ghost of God in your life, you'll not get any more as long as you're battling with something in your life against other brothers or something. No, we can't do that. We've got to get out of the way ourselves in order for the Spirit of God to be able to fully bless us. Watch how Brother Bram now likens this to himself. All you people here knows, since I've been a little boy, I've never been satisfied in this country. All my heart is always longed for the West. And I remember when I was mowing the grass for my mother-in-law up there, and that little place that belonged to the church here, that place. And I was sitting on the steps, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I cannot further bless you until you fully obey me like Abraham. Now here is Brother Branham walking in a place with God. Why, my, there had never been a ministry at this time outside of the Lord Jesus who'd seen the miracles, the supernatural, the manifestation of the Word. Nothing, all the rest of them, put all of them together if you wish. None of them had found the manifestation of God. And yet Brother Branham was not walking in full obedience to the Word. Come on now, don't get quiet on me on that. This is what I love about this man. He was able to tell us his shortcomings. He was able to tell you, he wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't no actor trying to put on something that he wasn't. But he could stand up and tell us he needed to move closer to God. Amen. Can you follow a man like this? I sure can. Now watch, God's speaking to him and telling him, but yet it seems like he's in a situation that he can't get out of. Here's his mother-in-law, which is a widow, she needs them to help him. Here's his own mother, which is a widow, and it seems like she needs him to help him. What are they supposed to do? What are they in a fix? What can they do? And that's the way we get many times, and the devil talks us right out of the will of God, and he'll put our back right up against the wall. Well, what can you do? What can you do? If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that'll happen. And God's just waiting to see if you'll take him at his word. But a lot of us are scared to. Well, my, my. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I cannot bless you further until you fully obey me like Abraham. And Abraham told God, he said, Abraham, God told him to separate himself and go to himself. And when he did, he took along with him his father, his nephew, until Abraham completely obeyed God. There was a complete fulfillment of what God promised him. Oh my. Now you think, here's Brother Branham in the same spot to where that God is leading him to go out. You remember when he talked about this in another place. He said, I prayed, God, then take this burden off of me. Make me happy. What can I do? And he went and told his men, he said to his wife, we'll never be happy here. God will never bless us. She said, Bill, what about my mother? He said, what about mine? And there he was in a spot. Lord, what am I going to do? Then he said, God, take this burden off of me until something happens. You notice the history of it. Whenever his mother-in-law goes and his mother goes and months apart. And then what did it lead right up to? Sirs, this is a sign of the end time. What did God do? God knew there was a mother-in-law problem years and years before this. But God was going to make sure there wasn't going to be another one. So God actually removed the burden. You think about the grace of God. Now, why did not God just bypass William Branham and get another man? Because there wasn't another man on the face of the earth that could take that place. And let me say it to you, there ain't another person on the face of the earth, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that can take your place. In spite of your mistakes, in spite of your failures, in spite of my failures and my shortcomings, Brother Skip, there ain't nobody out here that God can say, well, I'll rub Donnie off and I'll write your name on there. Ain't nobody that can take my place in the economy of God. My name is engraved on the palm of his hands. Hallelujah. Notice again he says Lot was a religious man, type of the formal church. But as long as Lot was with Abraham, he journeyed for years with him. God would not bless him till he fully obeyed him and separated himself from Lot, the denominational church. And as soon as Abraham separated himself and come out to walk alone, God said, now Abraham, saying, look east, west, north, south, it's all yours. But he didn't do it until he fully separated himself. That's exactly right. So then we see a principle of God, that God will not bless the silver dollars with the pennies as long as they're fellowshipping together in close camaraderie. That God demands a separation. It is not the silver dollar themselves looking over at the penny and saying, I'm better than you, I know more than you, I understand more than you. It's not them doing that at all. It is God separating them by predetermined value in the economy of God. Look, if you're a silver dollar from the mint by predestination, you can't help that no more than a penny can. You come from the mint that way. God chose you. God chose Israel to be separate from all the people of the earth. They never chose themselves. Hallelujah. Now watch what this thought about Israel. Exodus 33:16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? This is Moses speaking. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now it is not them separating themselves to be some type of oddity or peculiar people on their own making, but it is God and His Word. Don't you understand what all the Levitical laws, even the dress codes and all that was given in the Old Testament? It was make them to be a different people. That no matter where a Jew went, you would know they were a Jew by the way they looked on the outside. Well, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost has moved inside the soul, now we don't have to dress like a Jew. We don't have to dress like a Gentile or whatever more. But the true baptism of the Holy Ghost being birthed inside of your soul, you will put on the new man, and it will reflect itself by the way you act and live on the outside. So, we again are to be a separated people. The children of Israel were to wear a riband of blue in the bottom of their garment. The high priest wear a certain color. The tabernacle be a certain color. Wow, all that is separation. They wasn't the only one with altars. They wasn't the only one praying. They wasn't the only one calling on God. But God separated them. Even the dietary laws. Don't eat that which chews a cud, which parts the hoof. Don't sow diverse kinds of seed in the same field. Don't sow barley and don't sow wheat and don't sow oats. What's all that for? Every bit of that was to separate His people from the rest of the world. Oh my, why God loves separation. Amen. Notice Leviticus chapter 20 verse 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now it's not them. It's not them to make the boundaries and say, okay, we'll separate ourselves by doing this and this and this, and that'll make us different. We have no authority to separate ourselves and make the boundaries. That's up to God. So if God says, I want the ladies to have long hair, it's up to God to say it, and it's up to us to obey it. If God said, I don't want the men looking like women, if that's what God said, it's up to God to say it, it's up to us to obey it. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 8. When the Most High, listen to this, divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. When God separated the people, when God gave the lot of inheritance to the sons of Adam, the measuring tape He used was Israel. I'm going to give them first choice. And how much ever land they need, when they get done, y'all can have what's left over. Because I prefer them. Now get mad, get angry, get upset, do whatever you want to do. This is God's word. This is what He said. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Which I don't like that. He didn't ask Him. He chose to do it that way. And the Lord's portion is His people. Can you imagine Almighty, omnipotent God, which needed nothing, and yet He chose for His portion of everything, He chose His portion to be human beings? The Lord's portion is His people, and Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. And the word lot is the boundary or the border by where the inheritance begins. So Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. May I go on and say, the elect down through seven church ages have been His portion. Amen. He is gathering. Don't you understand? You pay tithes of what you possess. There is also a tithing of people. Tithing went to the elect. Amen. Tithing went to the Levites. And God has a tithing which is the elect. It will be the tithing of humanity that lives in that great city on the eighth day. Amen. God not only sends you to pay tithes, but God also pays tithes. And when God paid tithes to humanity, it was a deposit of that predestinated seed word. Hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Kodesh. The word holiness, Kodesh. Set apart, pulled apart, consecrated. Israel was not just in holiness, but Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Don't you see why God still demands a bride? That it's not our own making, it's not our own choosing, it's Him that defines the boundaries. Then we are actually holiness unto the Lord. It's not just something we have on the outside. Well, we're holiness people. We believe in holiness. We believe in, what does that mean? It's more than just the length of our dress and the length of our hair. That's part of it. But holiness is actually who you are. And your clothes reflect that from your soul if you've truly got holiness. My, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of His increase. So here was God's tithing of the Old Testament. Praise be to God. Amen. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Ezra chapter 10 verse 11. Now therefore make confession the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. And remember, the children of Israel had married all these heathen women. And these preachers, you think I preach hard? Here come Ezra back in and here come Nehemiah back in and the priest that married heathens, and he said, get away from them women and them children. Well, it's a good thing he don't live in this day. They'd have hung him up. Now, you believe and agree with me that Israel was separated. But there's another separation in the separation. Watch this in Numbers chapter 8 verse 13. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron, before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. So you imagine human beings are being offered as an offering. Who? The Levites. Now here was Israel, which was separated from the world. And here was Levi, which was separated from Israel. So Israel was set apart. The Levites were more set apart. Can't you see the moves of God? Why does that offend people? Is there a church out here that is separated from drinking and running around and committing adultery? Yes, many of them are. But there's also another separation from the church. Hallelujah. Notice again in Numbers chapter 8 verse 14. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. So here's a separation among the separated people. And the Levites shall be mine. You mean all of Israel wasn't his? They were, but not in this stage of consecration. Glory. So, God, now again, Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 8, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, to bless in his name unto this day. Now, could all of Israel do that? God killed them dead if they picked up that ark. Could they stand and say, I bless you, my brother, in the name of the Lord. I put the name of the Lord on you. They died right there if they done it. Were they not separate? They were, but they were not in the right stage of holiness. Set apartness. Kodesh. You follow me? Now watch this. Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. So we got Israel, then we have the Levites, and then we have the priest, and then we have the high priest. So the further we go in toward the holiest of holies, the more, oh glory, the more separation it requires. So you got the common Israelite on the outside. He sees the pillar of fire. He knows God's around, but he's never able to pick up that ark. He's never able to pick up even the very tent of the tabernacle. But yet the Levites can because they are more separate. Oh glory. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 verse 13. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things. He and his sons forever. Now here's Aaron, the high priest. So he was separate from the separate from the separate. The more separate you get, the closer to the holiest holies you are. Now I realize this ain't for everybody. It's just for the separated. Glory. He should sanctify the most holy things and his sons forever to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever. Now every Israelite could not bless in the name of God. They were not allowed to quote the scripture in the book of Numbers. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And the Lord on and on. The average Israelite could not say that. Why? They were not separated enough to say it. And their separation had to match their call. Oh, glory. Each office, each position, each separation of holiness, it brought in a closer, intimate walk with God. So the average Levite or the average Israelite, let me say it this way, the average Israelite did not have the same intimate place with God that did the Levite. Because the Levite would go in and say, oh, how does that feel? How does it go in when you go to taking down that tabernacle? Well, we go in and we start taking down the tatches off of the curtains and we lay the curtains down. And we're, oh, that must be awesome. That must be something. It is. It's absolutely wonderful. And we go to taking the purple and we wrap it up and then we take the gold vessels. You mean you actually get to handle the vessels and you handle the brazen laver too? Yeah, we handle all that. Oh, that must be awesome. And that average Israelite said, man, I've never even seen that before. So when you actually get to see that Ark of the Covenant, yes, sir, I reach my hands right over on that cherubim that's built upon the Ark of the Mercy Seat. I reached my hand right there and I wrapped it up in the blue cloth. I took that down and I set it down. I carried it around on my shoulder. And the average Israelite said, oh my, how blessed you are. Oh my. And that man might stand there and say, and then the priest come through and said, yeah, that ain't nothing. I went through there and I got my feet washed at the brazen laver. I took the incense and I sprinkled it up to there. I reached inside of that and got me a piece of that original bread. Hallelujah. And then the high priest had come up and said, that ain't nothing. I walked in there on the Day of Atonement. Hallelujah. I walked right back down in the presence of God and I began to offer an atonement for myself. Then I came out and changed my clothes and I went back in again. And you imagine they are spellbound as each office declares a manifestation of holiness, set apartness by which God has called them to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Notice in Exodus 28:3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. Kodesh. Sanctify, prepare, dedicate. Be hallowed, be holy, be separate, set apart. So Aaron's clothes set him apart with his office. Amen. Glory. Exodus 29:9. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Amen. New Testament, Acts 13:2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here we have in the New Testament, the same God is separating again. So you couldn't choose, let's me and you go on the mission field, or let's me and you, brother, or me and you go, or, you know what, it ought to be today, the Holy Ghost is leading men to pair up if he leads them in pairs. It ought to be the Holy Ghost leading men to preach conventions and say, well, yeah, I'll take it, it's a big crowd. No, it ain't a very big crowd, I won't take it. It ought to be the Holy Ghost doing the leading again today. Sometimes he might tell you to turn down a big one and meeting and to take a little bitty old meeting where there ain't hardly nobody there. But if that's what he wants, I'd rather be right there in that little meeting than I would where there's thousands of them myself. I want to obey him. I want to be separated for the work he's called me to do. Notice Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Divide, sever, to mark off from others by boundaries, to limit, to separate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We gotta look different, church. We gotta act different. We gotta preach different. We gotta talk different. Glory to God. In the rebuilding of the spiritual body of the bride of Jesus Christ, God separated Israel. Out of them, he called another group called the Levites. He further set them apart. Out of them, he called a group called priests. Out of them, he called another. Notice the four stages. So it was in the fourth stage that they're able to go into the holiest of holies. God sent Luther with a message. And Luther was consecrated, pulled apart from Catholicism. What was the Lutheran message? It was a pulling apart, a setting apart from Catholicism. Amen. He could not believe the same stuff that he believed before. So God called a people out of a people. What was the move of Wesley? It was another stage of holiness or sanctification that God was pulling his people further apart. What was the move of Pentecost? It was God separating his people for the restoration of gifts. What was Malachi for? Malachi 4 was a further separation to call them same people out of Pentecost, out of Baptist. And what will happen in the resurrection? The final separation from mortality. The separation from death. Who's it for? The separated people. So laugh at what I preach. Make fun of me. And after a while, I'll be laughing. Because my separation is going to separate me from mortality. Now watch and let us pick up on the scripture that we closed with last Sunday. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh my, you mean there's something we gotta do? Amen. Notice what Paul says. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the word. Perfecting means bring to an end, to finish, to complete. It's carrying out that which has already been started within the soul. Holiness, true holiness, has been birthed in the soul by the divine nature of God. Then we are to put on the new man. So from the regenerate part of you, the soul, we begin to put on the new man, and he works his way out to bring our body and our spirit subject to the word. So how are we supposed to do this in holiness in the fear of God? So a Christian life should be a life of constant separation from the things of the world. Now, Paul says, of filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, as I said, this is not a servile, slavish fear by which we are scared to death of God. God's going to send me to hell. Oh, God's going to punish me. God hates me. God don't love me. God's going to do all this. No, you've got a Frankenstein God. Part of God's character is that he will punish the disobedient. But that's not all of who God is. And the church said, you see, a person who looks at God that way, it makes them afraid of God. Now, if your leading uppermost thought of the attribute of God, depending on what that is, that will determine mainly how you live. If you feel like that God can pretty much let you get by with anything you want to do, that's pretty much the way you're going to live. If you figure you can drink, run around, go to church when you want to, pay your tithes when you afford to, be kind to people when you want to, and have the right attitude whenever you want to, and all that sort of thing, then more than likely that thought within you will breed all that type of stuff I just mentioned. But if you serve him in the fear of the Lord, then you don't do it. Oh, I better be nice. Jesus will forgive me. Oh, I better have a good attitude. Jesus will forgive me. No, you're doing it in the fear of the Lord. You're not afraid of hell. Listen to me, friend. I haven't feared hell in years. When preachers preach on hell, I don't even sweat. Unless I'm preaching, of course. When preachers preach about people being lost and crossing the line, it don't worry me because I've already crossed on the other side. Now, I'm not saying I don't listen and I don't pay attention, because I do. But I am already past that slavish, servile fear that I'm scared to death. I've got to serve God. If I don't, he's going to throw me in hell. He is not going to throw me in hell. I'm his. And he loves me. Oh, you believe that? Notice then, so to be afraid of God will make you a flowerless garden, a fruit tree without fruition. It will make you a believer which constantly lives under the shroud of fear. And Satan, knowing you can never do enough as far as works anyhow, and you'll always live under that bondage. Some folks are as faithful to church as they can be. But it's not faithful out of love. It's faithful out of fear. They're afraid to miss church, afraid God will get them. They're afraid to miss paying their tithes. They're afraid to do this and another. And they're so scared of God. And that displeases God so much. Oh, does he want me to miss church? No, he don't want you to miss church. But he wants you to come to church out of love. Brother Ron Peterson sent me a quote the other day about the Indians and some of the people up north where Brother Branham was going to. And he said some of them people, he said, they'd walk 30 miles to church. Or they'd get in a canoe and they'd have to canoe down the river and they'd all get together and wrap up in blankets and all that. And he said, whenever they get there, he said, that's the reason they get to get so much when they come to God. He said, you got to sacrifice sometimes to come to the house of God. That's the reason some of us don't get very much. It's real convenient. We live 3 miles down the road. And if we don't want to come, we'll sit home and stream. Get back in our recliner, eat moose tracks, drink iced tea, you know, sip on that sort of thing. Shame on you. The Bible tells you to come together. Oh, sure, you're going to be gone, this and that and the other. But listen, for those of you who feel like you can live 3 miles down the road and stay home and stream a service, it's just as good. It is not just as good. And God will hold you responsible for everyone you miss. Do you understand what a post of duty is? How many days can you miss on your job without calling the boss? You show up when you want to? Do you owe them any responsibility? Do you owe them anything to answer for? Yet people come and go through the church doors like a bar or a saloon. Come and go when they want. Come, they don't feel like they owe God nothing. They don't know the church nothing. You don't understand a post of duty. In a war, when someone is supposed to be on the post of duty, and because they were not there, the enemy snuck in and killed some of your people. Who's answering for that? You are. A post of duty is not something, well, I just made up my mind. I don't want to go there no more. That's not that easy. You can't just walk away because you don't want to go there no more. If God made you a part of that, you'll answer at the day of judgment. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. It's the truth. We need to realize what God has made us a part of. We don't just change our mind and walk away because we don't want to go. Now, Paul's idea of God, did he fear God? Certainly. Well, was he afraid of God? What kind of relationship did Paul relate to the Lord Jesus. Look at this in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, not us. It's one thing when you can read this. It's another thing when you can say it from your soul. He loved me and gave himself for me. I love to include you at the cross, Brother Charlie, but when it comes to this, it's me and Jesus only. I love including you, Brother Seth. I love including all you sisters, all the rest of you, those of you that are streaming. But it must be so personal to me that if I would have been, amen, if I would have been the only sinner on the earth, that he would have went to the cross just for me. That's how much I mean to him. Notice in Hebrews 12:28. Oh, who was it didn't like that? Children, don't you understand? This is what will lead you to the rapture. The very same faith that speaks this in your soul, if I was the only one that was on the earth, he'd die for me, is the very same faith that tells you if there's only one out of this church going, that's you. You're not saying that out of arrogance. You're not saying it out of pride. You're not even saying it out of your obedience. You're saying it out of the magnificence of his love towards you as an individual. He loves me so much, he would not leave me in this hell. He loved me so much, he would not leave me a sinner. And when the rapture takes place, he loves me so much, he will not leave me here. Hallelujah! Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably in a way which is well pleasing to him. Acceptably. Oh my. With reverence. Now the word reverence is eulabia, which means caution, circumspection, discretion, with shamefacedness or modesty. So now this is the way that we come to God. We serve God acceptably with reverence, caution, circumspection, discretion, shamefacedness or modesty, and godly fear. Now these are the two words that I mentioned to you when we started. This one here is deos. Its fundamental idea is timid apprehension of danger. While phobos is the terror which seizes one when the danger appears. Now this phobos is where we get the word phobias from. So a person has deos for God. Glory. Deos, which is part of the same letters, glory, for deity. Deos. So a person has a reverential fear for his great presence and his magnificence and his omnipotence and all that he is. Oh, glory. But for them to try to serve him with phobos is the terror. So when they go to church, they're scared to death of him. They made a mistake this week and they're scared to death that God's going to lay it on my heart, and they're scared to death and I'm going to walk out there and lay my hand on their shoulder. And they just know if they do, they'll just swivel in the seat. They just know God's going to tell me what it is. Well, take care of that. Confess it. It'll be buried so far beneath the blood, me or nobody else can ever find it. So they come to church in phobos. They try to serve God in phobos. They read their Bible in phobos. They listen to tapes in phobos. But you will not take the rapture in phobos. Phobos does not fit the body change. We're talking about a husband. We're talking about a husband loving his wife. We're not talking about a master with a big old whip beating his wife and beating and beating and beating her. So you imagine now that you go into a place. Let me just use the symbol as I used a while ago. I was many years ago in Zimbabwe. And I was hunting there near the Zambezi River, which Zambezi River divides Zimbabwe and Zambia. Brother Biscoe was there as well, so I'd hunted in one place, and then they wanted us to come over with them. So he'd got a Cape Buffalo and some different animals, and there were some smaller animals that he didn't want, and I was able to take on his tag, his lot. So when we went there, I went with him, and we were out hunting. He's hunting Cape Buffalo. He'd already got a bull, but his allotment allowed him to get a cow. So when we're going down through, sneaking around, we're getting on this herd of Cape Buffalo, and they just keep moving and moving and moving, and we can't understand what's going on, what it is. But the guide finally saw that there was lions hunting the same herd that we were. Well, we finally move around, and we get downwind of them, and the dust kind of settles a little bit. And Brother Biscoe is able to take a shot. Now, he's using a .375 H&H with a 500-grain bullet, massive, massive bullet. Well, when he hits this cow at about 130 yards, 140 yards, something like that, I'm right there by him when Sam, whatever it happens. Whenever he hits this cow, it knocks her down on her side. She weighs a ton, probably. She's laying there pawing like this, blood just squirting out of her side where he's mortally wounded her. Whenever he shoots her, here is all this herd of all the Cape Buffalo. Now, they did not know where the shot come from. Now, I wasn't too afraid, really, whenever he shot her, because it was a good distance between us and her. And I'm saying it's something to see this going on. But whenever that herd all turned and started toward us. Duos turned to Phobos and sick at stomachos. And God, get me out of here, os, and please help us, oh Lord. And why? Because now the scene has changed. So we've got several hundred head of these Cape Buffalo, each of them weighing, 1,500 to 2,000 to 2,500 pounds apiece, and there are no trees for this hillbilly to shimmy up. Now, I've always been a pretty good shimmier, but you can only shimmy when you got something to shimmy up. So there's nothing to shimmy, there's no place to go, and they are moving 25, 30 miles an hour, and here we are, and we're just standing there froze. We don't know what to do. There's Brother Biscoe, there's Brother Godwin Chikinza, there's some of the trackers, the guides. We don't know what to do. But Brother Godwin has enough about him that he grabs a hold of his rifle, and he holds it up in there. And whenever he does, then the Cape Buffalo identify us and they see us. And all of a sudden they turn then and they start the other way. Now that fear that I had, I've always respected them from reading about them, because I know that they can be very, very dangerous. More people killed by them than even African lives. They're very, very dangerous. But it changed from Dios to Phobos once I saw that boss coming this way. Now, you realize that it's the same way with many things that's happened to us. Now, I'm a crazy dreamer sometimes, and I have dreams. I had one not long ago. I was in this dream, and Harry was sitting up beside a truck, and had his arm rolled, window rolled down, his arm laid out the window like this, and it was nighttime. I was kind of sneaking up on the side, and I was going to scare him. So I sneaked up in the window in this dream, and I sneaked right up back to the window. About the time I went, he done the same thing to me in the dream now. Now, whenever he did, it so scared me out of that dream dimension, it woke Carol up, and she's shaking me, trying to get me out of it. Now, when I woke up out of the dream, I could feel the hair standing up on the back of my head. I could feel chills all up and down my arms, because it was like a part of me was in that dream. You understand what I'm saying? Now, whenever we serve God with that kind of fear, can you imagine? We're terrified of it. Every mistake is a death blow. Every failure is a constant something. I can never please Him. I can never be proud. I'm never good enough. I'm never no count. I'm never good enough. Oh, shoot, I hope somebody share me tonight. But if we can serve Him with a reverential awe that our souls are awed by His presence, and if we ever heard Him thunder on Sinai or seen a great power, it might raise up some Phobos in us. But we don't go to church in Phobos. We don't pray in Phobos. We don't read our Bible in Phobos. We don't worship because we're afraid Brother Donnie's going to get on us. We worship out of reverential fear. Dios. Dios. Notice Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Isn't it amazing then, the true fear of the Lord, what it does to you? It makes you hate sin. This is why I know many of the people this age don't have the real fear of the Lord, because they love sin. Isn't it amazing that the fear of the Lord will do something so to you that it makes you hate evil? Now, not evil, evil doors. It does not make you, oh, I hate that person, something wrong with you if you hate people. But it will make you hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth. Beware of any doctrine that does not make you hate sin. Beware of any preacher and any church that makes you comfortable with sin. Can I go on? Watch in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Look at this word. Hagiasmos, holiness, consecration, purification, sanctification of heart and life. Don't you see why you want to do this? This is the will of God. Now, for those who don't want to do it, apparently it's not the will of God for them. But I want to do it. Anybody else in here want to do it with me? This is the will of God. Now, the will of God has two meanings in Scripture. The one is the determination of God, His decree, and the other one is His desire. Now, this is the will of God. What does it do? Now, holiness brings us to the spot then that it begins from the soul within, and it ceases evil from the soul. So holiness actually, by the new birth, it causes the very root or the snake that was in your heart to die, and it is the ceasing of evil in the soul, but it is the continuation of that same holiness bringing you subject on the outside. Notice he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Oh my. I want you to notice he doesn't call your vessel you. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So Paul separated you from your body and called your body a vessel. And you're supposed to know how to possess that vessel in sanctification and honor. Come on now, children. Now, we're not just talking about gifts and singing and writing songs and speaking in tongues and casting out devils. We're talking about knowing how to possess our house in sanctification and honor. That we possess our house. Now, this is your house. It is the soul's vessel, but it is also the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, which is not you, of course. So it is a shared tabernacle or a shared vessel. Oh, my. Notice that he says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles who knew not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. You see, friends, when we cheat one another, when we lie one another, when we borrow money from one another and don't pay that money or basically avoid them people, remember, the Lord is the avenger of such. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I could have preached all night and not said that, couldn't I? No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't, because it needs to be said. This is bringing the vessel in subjection to the sanctified life that we profess we have from the soul. Notice he said that no man go beyond and defraud his. Can you imagine some of these saints with the Holy Ghost and yet they're having problems with honesty and integrity?
I think I'll go in my office here and finish the rest of the sermon. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. In the Greek, it's the sphere or element in which our calling has place. The sphere or the element in which our calling has place. This is what makes me feel so sorry for the Laodicean church. They're not called in this sphere. They feel comfortable looking, acting, dressing, behaving like the world. Why? That is their sphere. They are naked spiritually. They are blind spiritually, wretched spiritually, and don't know it spiritually. But if this is your sphere, if you're called to holiness, one little word out of the way. If you do something to your brother, to your sister, one little thing out of the way, the Holy Spirit will convict you of it. Oh, praise be to God. Let me close. Look at this word again. It's the same word that we looked at a while ago. Hagamios, holiness, sanctification, consecration, sanctification of life. But this is what's amazing about this word. It comes from the same root word that saint comes from. Hagios. So holiness, Holy Spirit, and saint comes from the same root word. Holiness, saint, and Holy Spirit. Holy pneumos. So it comes from the same root word, which comes from the same seed word. So all Christians are not saints, but all saints are Christians. Now, many folks are Christians. I know we have a hard time saying, well, they're not a Christian because they bobbed their hair. No, they might be a Christian, but they're not a saint. A sanctified one. A hagios. Hagios. Hagamios. One who's been set apart. And they don't do this way. They don't act this way. They are a saint. They are a sanctified one. They are a possessor of sancti pneumios. They come from the same word. So their experience has its origination in the seed. Let me close with this. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Unblameable. In holiness before God. Now we know there is no holiness that you and I could do that makes this holiness. This is the last phase of true holiness. It empties out into the very personification of God's own character. This is not us putting it on, and this is not us cleansing ourselves. This is the work He does to make us unreprovable, unblameable in His sight. Unblameable and holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His, not all His Christians, not all those that are saved. Will people go through the tribulation period that are saved? Absolutely. But He's not bringing them with Him in the resurrection. He's bringing saints. Saints. Let's stay. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. In case this hadn't already knocked the devil out, let me give him one more quote, and this will probably do it. God's a healer. He cannot heal unless there be somebody sick to heal. So if there'd never been a sickness, had never been a healer. God being a healer, His own attributes projected these things. Then there had to be something to respond to the attribute that was in God. The word God means an object of worship. And God wanted to be worshipped. So He had to project something
that would worship him. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you understand why you want to worship him tonight? Because he projected that. He wanted something to worship him. And he projected that. That attribute. And you receive that attribute. If you don't want to worship him, I'd get to praying, friends. If all you want to do is come to church and be a church member and sign your name on a book somewhere, you better get to praying. Listen to this. As soon as you come to him, you become his son. You worship him. And that's what he really was to be. What made you to do? Your purpose here is to worship God. And you cannot worship him correctly till you worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Oh. So let us go back for a few moments, shall we? When the first two worshipers on the earth. I can see it. It's coming close to church time. The cool of the day, and the voice of God came walking in the garden. Adam spoke to his wife and said, sweetheart, let's go up to the temple to worship. Brother Bram said it wasn't a church, it wasn't a building, but it was among the trees. A great beautiful forest. The birds of paradise flying through and landing over on Adam's shoulders. Then this pillar of fire descended down. And a voice spoke out and said, my children, have you enjoyed your stay on earth today? Amen. And they answered back, oh yes, Papa. Everything has been so beautiful. Everything is perfect. And Papa said, I've come down to kiss you goodnight. Yeah. Notice the first worshipers. No temple. No church. No Jerusalem. No Happy Valley. But here is the worshipers having intimate communion with God. Amen. Here is the picture of true worship. Should it shock you that John looked all over heaven when he saw that city in the eighth day? And he looked and he looked and he looked and he said, I can't find a temple. There ain't no temple here. And then it hits him. The Lord God and the Lamb. Or the temple. So the place of worship is back, not within a house, but within a body. The prophet said he come over and laid Adam down and stretched his arm out. And he laid Eve out on Adam's arm. And he reached over and kissed Adam on the cheek. He reached over and kissed Eve on the cheek. And then he kind of backed out of the garden a little bit. And the angel stood there and he said, Father, he looks just like you. He said, I do that sometimes with my Joseph. He said, I'll go in the room and I'll kiss him goodnight and pull the covers up. And he said, me and Mama will stand at the door. And she said, you know, he has your eyes. And I said, well, he has your hands and your nose. And he said, that was Father. And the angel said, he looks just like you, Father. What is it that makes your heart feel funny when you hear that story? What is it that makes the tear ducts kick on and something jumps within your soul when you hear that? Because you long for that kind of fellowship with God. Church is good. Don't misunderstand me. This is not the end of it all. Please listen to me. If this was the end of it all and I'd never get to see him, Brother Ronnie, I would be sad. Hey, this is not the end of it all. This is not the end of it that I'm standing up here preaching, y'all sitting back there and we're praying to an invisible God, singing to an invisible God, talking to an invisible God. This is not the end of it all. One day we will gather around him and touch him and feel him and he will feel us and he will put his arms around us and pull us up next to him and we will hear him breathe and we will feel the warmth of his skin. Hallelujah. Perfect worship. Perfect worship. Oh, don't you long for that hour? Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. Until that hour arrives, I'm going to give him everything I can right now. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together.
Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, somehow through these thoughts, you'd be able to speak to the hearts of your children. Lord, I realize that many people don't know how to worship. They know the Laodicean way of worship. Lord, for many people, church is nothing but entertainment. The musicians entertain, the song leader entertains, the special singers entertain, and then what's supposed to be a preacher comes out and entertains. And then they dismiss and they have coffee in the basement. It's all about entertainment instead of correction and love and discipline, worshiping you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that our church does not turn into such a worldly, ungodly place. To our music is entertainment, our singing is entertainment, and our preaching is entertainment. But may our music be orchestrated around worship. What difference does it make who plays the guitar, or who plays the organ, or who plays the piano? Worship is not about this person getting their turn, and I don't get to sing enough, or I don't get to play the guitar. What makes them think it's about them in the first place? I pray you would open our understanding in the morning to this, Lord, as we come up to this. May the very presence of God so saturate our souls. Help us to see that many of us are guilty of self-worship. That we worship ourselves. Because if church don't go the way we want it, the preaching don't go the way we want it, we're not used, we're not this, we're not that. As if though we're worshiping ourselves. Help us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, may we be pulled apart. Thank you for Luther. Thank you for Wesley. Thank you for Pentecost. But thank you for Malachi 4. Lord, I thank you that we're not just seeing who Brother Branham was. Because Brother Branham never told us, when the bride sees who I am, the rapture will go. But he says, when she sees who she is, then the rapture will go. Thank you for letting us see who Brother Branham was. And we know that's essential. But thank you, Lord. We haven't stopped there, as many message folks have. That's as far as they've gone. Just seeing Brother Branham. They rally around Brother Branham. That's all they know the message is Brother Branham this and Brother Branham that. And they've never seen themselves in the Word. But thank you, Lord, that you're allowing us to see us who we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Oh, Father, we love you, Lord. Lamb of God, I pray, may we be pulled apart as Luther was pulled out, as Wesley was pulled out, as Pentecost was pulled apart. May we be pulled apart. May we have a further separation, Lord. We're not interested in becoming like the world and the worldly church. We want our music to be anointed, our singing to be anointed, our preaching to be anointed, our prayers to be anointed. We need you, Lord. Lord, I'd rather we have, if people couldn't sing, if they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, yet they acknowledge their dependency of you, than all of us professional and think we don't need the presence of God. Give us the Holy Ghost, Lord. Give us your anointing, Lord God. Professionalism is fine as long as that professionalism can yield itself to the Spirit of God. No doubt David had some very talented, very professional musicians. But oh, he emphasized them worshiping in spirit under the anointing. If he would do that under the old covenant, what about us in this day, Lord? Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. How many wants to be a true worshiper of God tonight? With all your heart. Some folks can only worship when they're doing the singing. Some preachers can only get excited about the word when they're doing the preaching. A singer that can only get really blessed when they're the only one doing the singing, that's not a real worshiper, that's an entertainer. You understand, a lot of our message singers are turning into entertainers. They're no more than these quartets out here and these trios and all this. It's entertainers. Is that what we want? Do we want our church to turn into entertainment? Don't we want the Holy Ghost to be able to come among us and the Spirit of God to minister to us? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, children, let's enter into the forest tonight, as it were, with Adam and Eve. Not with Phobos. Not scared to death of a lion or a bear or a bobcat. Or scared to death of Almighty God. But let us come into this great wilderness. Let us come into this with Dios. A reverential fear. Oh, we have a fear that we don't want to displease Him. We have a fear that we don't want to say anything wrong or do anything wrong. But as far as the fear of going to hell, it's gone. The fear of missing the rapture, it's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. So how do we worship? We worship Him with fear. Duos. Knowing He's omnipotent. Oh, sure, I know. I know He could look this way tonight and speak, and I'd be annihilated. But I know He has no reason to. He loves me. He don't look at me that way. But brother, tell me what about all your mistakes? That is only temporary setbacks in my life. I'm not a mistake. Mistakes is not who I am. Failures is not who I am. Who I am is the Son of God. Before I ever made any mistakes, I was in His thinking before the word began. So which is the most powerful, that or a mistake? Your failures, your shortcomings, you want to give them eternal quality? There is no mistake that has eternal quality. There is no failure that has eternal quality. It's only the elect.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him. Hey, sing something for us. It'll be conducive to worship in the Lord. Let's just worship Him now. Don't worship Him out of... You're scared. Well, I better raise my hands. Brother Donnie's going to look at me. Don't let that move you. Don't let that do it. Well, what if the deacons will come and get me? No. The deacons ain't going to come and get you if you don't worship. If you don't raise your hands. It just sends the message to God. It don't send it to us so much. It just sends the message to God that you don't want to do it. Why don't you want to do it? If we come into that reverential fear, then we'll praise the Lord. All you people. Praise Him on the high sounding cymbal. Praise Him on the cymbal, on the stringed instruments. Brother Bram said he couldn't play an instrument, so God gave him 10 strings. A 10 stringed instrument. Hallelujah. Every one of us have got something we can give to Him in the avenue of worship. And how do we come? Reverential fear. His holiness. His august courts. His greatness. And yet I am personally invited. And I come with boldness. But in order to be counterbalanced, I come with boldness sprinkled with the salt of reverential fear. Lest I come as a bold Laodicean without that fear. You see, the Laodiceans come with great boldness in this day. But they're not anointed with fear as well. To temper their attitude, to make them know He owes you nothing. It's His grace that saves you. He owes you nothing. Praise the Lord. Let's just close our eyes a little, shall we? Now the Cape Buffalo ain't charging you. The lion is not stalking you. The mountain lion is not the bottom of your tree. But it's a reverential fear toward this awesome God. You stand in His presence with this duos that you love Him. And you know He owes you nothing. You know He don't have to do one thing for you. But you know He loves you. And you know you love Him. And you want to give Him praise. Praise God. Anybody want to help me love Him just a little bit before we go? Maybe you're going out with some saints after service or something like that. You got something planned and all that. But to be honest with you, I figure this is more important than anything else you got planned. Because we're giving this to the Lord Jesus. We're giving this to the Lord Jesus. If David was here and belonged to Happy Valley, was a member of Happy Valley Church, and David had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I figure the deacons would have the office time with him that ever was. They'd probably have to build a special David room on the outside. We couldn't even put him in the nursery upstairs. He'd be like the old man. You remember the prophet telling about the old man that loved God and had a real experience with God, and he came in to see his daughter, and his daughter was real fancy, and she's going to have a party one day, and the old man, every time he'd read the Bible, he'd go to getting so happy, and he'd shout and carry on. So the daughter thought, well, the only thing I can do is put Daddy upstairs. She thought, I can't give him the Bible, so I'll give him a geography with maps and stuff like that. So she goes to having her party, and the prophet said they're drinking their pink lemonade and all that stuff downstairs. Glory to God. After a while, she hears the office commotion ever was. The lights go to shaking all over the house, and she runs up there, Daddy, Daddy, what's wrong? You ain't got the Bible. He said, I know it, honey. I know it. Said, I was reading here on this geography, and I got to reading where they found out they can't even find the bottom of the sea. And I was reading the other day in the Bible where he said, he cast my sins in the bottom of the sea. He said, my sins are still going. Amen. Oh, glory. You see, that's a real worshiper. They don't have to have a Bible just in their hand or a book of Brother Branham in their hand. They can have a geography in their hand, or they can be looking at a tree and all of a sudden they go to having a spell. Why? They see the Creator in the tree. They see the Creator in the sky, and it's in them to worship the Creator. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Let's just worship him together, can we? Hey, sing something for us. Let's just worship him together.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, you see this prayer calls, Father. Lord, I've worked in preaching your word tonight. Dear God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. You see this need that it represents. May the presence of God, I pray, go to it, Lord. The report the doctors give might be alarming, but for we believe there is another report in your word. May there be no evil that will come of this, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship him and love him now. Hallelujah. Everybody sing it. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Jesus. Everybody now.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
But Jean, we love you, Amos.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you.
Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We magnify your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For God is a spirit and he seeketh such to worship him. And the true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, Lord God, we bless your name. Then how can true worshipers worship only when they are in spirit and in truth? So when we are baptized into the mystical body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walking in the true light of the day, there are the true worshipers that worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're just in the right doctrine, but we are in truth, and truth is in us. We're not just under the anointing. We're not just feeling the anointing, but we are in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and the Spirit is in us. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, O God. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Now, look, children, when we're doing this, we're not doing this to entertain. We're not doing it to promote anyone else. This is strictly for the Lord Jesus. This is for him. We're giving him praise and love and adoration and exaltation to his name. Don't you understand? He projected that attribute in your heart because he wants to hear this from you. Oh, how honored we ought to be tonight to know that God let that attribute fall down inside of my soul, and that's why I want to do this. I want to do it not because you're doing it, because I'm going to do it if nobody else in this building does it.
I'm going to do it because I'm a recipient of the attribute of the declaration of God's desire to want praise. And that attribute has landed in my soul. Hallelujah. And it makes me want to praise Him and love Him and adore Him. I'm responding to that attribute which was in God before the foundation of the world, to want to be loved and to be praised and adored. Amen. We worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. We exalt You, Lord. We exalt You, mighty God. Hallelujah. Bless Your holy name, Father. Bless Your holy name, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You love Him, children, with all your hearts. You appreciate His truth. You appreciate His spirit. You appreciate Him letting you be a worshiper, a true worshiper. Praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We bless Your name, Lord. We bless Your name, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory be to God. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Hey, let's sing something else in worship to the King. Praise God. Praise God. We worship You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
We exalt Thee.
Yes, my God.
We exalt
Thee. Oh, my God. We bless Your name, Lord.